transform you into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, while simultaneously causing you to triumph everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread. So the word guard, you can hedge about to protect, to defend, or in order. Now Eden, the word Eden means pleasure, delight, delicate, soft, pleasant, to live voluptuously. It means delight self, and it means a delightful place, a delightful place. Let me say that again to you. Eden, the word Eden, the Garden of Eden, pleasure, delight, delicate, soft, pleasant, to live voluptuously, delight self, and delightful place. What I want you to focus on tonight is God planted or established a garden, a place that's protected, a place where he would put man, where he was defended against something, also in order. Now, there were trees in the garden. Now, if we read the account in the first and second chapters, we see that in the midst of this, in the midst of this order, there was the tree of life, which we know the tree of life is Christ. Is that correct? But also in that order was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now remember, we're looking at the word order now. We can always go back to the garden and apples and oranges, but we're looking at order now. God planted an order, and he called it Eden, and he put the man in the order. So the garden is full of trees. Trees. That's interesting. Trees, that word is an interesting word too. And that word is the word ates, A-T-E-S. It means to fasten or make firm. And it's interesting here, a definition of it. It means to close the eyes shut. To close the eyes shut. Isn't that interesting? For the word tree. How do you get that out of a tree? We know trees with leaves and bark and fruit. But now, again, I want you to use your imagination, because we're looking at not trees and stuff. We're looking at a divine order that God set. And in that order, there was the tree of life. And in that order, there was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So trees. Let's take a little deeper look at trees. Again, I'm jogging your imagination, okay? So we can always fall back on, you know, eating the apple, you know, and it got caught in Adam's throat. The Adam's apple. Okay, so that's okay, we can always fall back on that, but I just want your imagination, because the enemy is who he is in the world today because of imagination. Amen. Yes, he is, I'm going to say, powerful. He has no authority. God didn't give him authority. But man is relegated. So he has power in the world. He has a system. But it's through images, imaginations. And it began here. Trees. Let's take a look at trees. Again, we're looking at things figuratively and specifically. We're looking at things, you know, how they are, and then sometimes God will use things, and I'll show you. He'll use it, but then he'll use a figure to express something else. Go with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. And let's start at verse number 12. The Lord speaking to the prophet, and he says, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Somebody say the king of Tyrus. It says in verse 12, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now that's starting to sound like somebody. Am I right? But he's talking about the king of Tyrus. But figuratively, he's talking about somebody else. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, he ain't talking about Tyrus, king of Tyrus. He wasn't in Eden. All right? So, but yet he's addressing Tyrus. But he's, I believe, addressing the spirit that has made Tyrus a puppet, the king of Tyrus. And say to him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You have been in the Eden, the garden of God. Now, if you do some research there, when we talk about Eden, the garden of God, there was an Eden in heaven. There's Eden, the garden that God gave to man, but there was also the Eden or the garden of God, and he was there. So that couldn't have been Tyrus, king of Tyrus. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Now we know he ain't talking about the king of Tyrus right there, right? But he said, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus. So figuratively, he's speaking about someone else. And we recognize this character here, right? He goes on to verse 14 to say, Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of thy merchandise, you have filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. Therefore, I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of you. It shall devour you, and I will bring you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold you. And they that know you among the people shall be astonished at you. You shall be a terror, and never shall you be any more. Now, he said, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus. But yet he starts talking to the devil. So there's something twofold going on there, right? I wanted you to see that. The king of Tyrus, and the prince of darkness, Satan. Now let's go to Ezekiel chapter 31. Chapter 31. Now, God is using the same methodology. He's speaking about a natural king, but he's speaking about a prince of darkness. All right, let's look. Verse number 3. Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches and with a shadowing shroud, and of a high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The waters made him great. The deep set him up on high with her rivers running round about his plants, and sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Therefore his height, we're talking about the Assyrian, his height was exalted above all the trees of the field. And his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. Now, he's referring the king or the Assyrian to a tree. Let's go on. Therefore, his height was exalted above all the trees of the field. And his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of the waters when he shot forth. All the fowls of heaven made their nests in his boughs. And under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young. And under his shadow dwelt all great nations. Thus was he fair in his greatness, in the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters. Look at this. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. All right, that's starting to sound like somebody again, isn't it? But now it's referring to trees. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all, look at this, all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. So now we're looking at this thing, trees. Now remember, we're not talking about trees you get. Remember the blind man when Jesus prayed for him, put the spittle on his eye, he said, how do you see me? He said, I see him as trees. It didn't necessarily mean that he saw him like fruit-bearing trees. But I want you to see how figuratively speaking, God is saying something here. I want to give you a glimpse into a realm concerning the garden where it's not just plants and but rather in the spirit realm, it's an order that God set. And he set the man in the order. All right? So now he's talking about trees in the garden of God. And there's one tree where none of them were like him. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you have lifted up thyself in height, and you have shot up your top among the thick boughs, and your heart is lifted up in his height. Who does this sound like? I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness. And strangers. Well, let me stop there. Let's skip down to verse number 14. Now, here again, figuratively speaking, we're talking about trees here now, right? But we're not talking about just trees with bark and branches. We're talking about a tree that stood above all the other trees that the other trees envied. You know, they weren't like him. They didn't have the beauty or they weren't as magnificently made as this other tree. And so they envied it. And because this tree was like that, it became lifted up. Okay, so are we following the...
Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036. For updates on ministries and other events, visit our website at www.trbanks.com. And remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.
Is your financial strategy in tune with your values? At Thrivent, we believe money is a tool, not a goal. Thrivent is a holistic financial services organization that helps you achieve your financial goals and put your purpose into action. You can reach us at 772-408-0771.